we're back on the air. We were talking while the song was going. We were talking about the book by Marge Piercy called Woman on the Edge of Time. It just, when I was thinking about what we would talk about on the show, what areas we would cover, I was thinking, okay, I represent the woman of the past. I mean, I'm the woman who grew up B.C., before consciousness. And Nina's the woman of the present who has just grown up on A.D., after defiance, or during feminism. But then there's the woman of the future and all the possibilities for the future. And for those of you who haven't read the book, it's Marge Piercy constructs this incredibly beautiful world where people, all kinds of people, just like I say in the beginning of the show about race and work and class background and like that, she adds sex. And everyone is totally equal and totally seen as an individual person. And children are just every bit as much as respected as adults, and really old people are every bit as much respected as, you know, people in their 20s and 30s and 40s.
Yeah. The thing that keeps running through my head about that whole time is that when I read that book, it was like, oh, yeah, wouldn't that be beautiful? And I was thinking, well, why can't I live that way now? And I can't. I can't say, well, I'm just going to be a person and just do what I feel due and have my work and share the dirty work of running the world and also do the work that's important to my individuality, like my art and stuff like that, and just love who I come in contact with, who I can love. And I feel, you know, male or female, and I feel like that would be wonderful. You could live your life like that, and that you could say, I prefer women or I prefer men. You know, I have more men lovers or I have more women lovers than, you know, the opposite. But I don't feel like that can happen now. I feel like we have to go through a lot before we can get to that point. We have to get rid of a lot of junk. And I think now you have to, I have to, I wish the whole world felt this way, that you have to start channeling your energies towards getting to a world where people can grow up to be who they are and not be pressured into anything that they aren't. And part of that for me is my sexuality and where my energies go. And I really feel like it's linked to feminism, the women's movement, to women. And I think maybe because of the place we've been put in, sort of as the oppressed, you know, people, we're aware of our pain a little bit more than the men who are oppressed in the ways that they've put upon themselves. And, you know, you hear a lot of men go, well, me too, you know, I'm tied up, I have to have this job, I have to be married, I have to raise, you know, I have to pay for this family, which, you know, and yeah, those are bad things too, but you're still at the top and in control. And I think the kind of pain that I think women deal with are, I don't know, are closer to the actual living and actual survival kind of thing, the everyday just human survival. And I think we have to do our part in raising that level and getting that out in the open, that kind of consciousness raising, undoing of junk, and pass that, you know, by our existence and by showing that we're strong, that we can live this way, and keep saying, you know, mm-hmm. woman on the edge of time, and keep describing that world and keep describing how to get there kind mm-hmm. of stuff, mm-hmm. then maybe men will join in too. Mm-hmm. But they're going to have to give up their man struggle and sort of join a woman's struggle. Mm-hmm. And it's called a woman's movement because women have started it.
Mm-hmm. And because women are moving.
Right. maybe one day we'll have another word for it. Or maybe we'll keep that word because those are the founders. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You could change it to a human movement, but that would sort
people.
Of... A people movement. Yeah. But that would sort of negate the roots of it,
right.
maybe.
Yeah, I was in some talking I was doing recently about feminism and about the patriarchy and about mm-hmm. all that, it became really clear to me that feminists are not women, are ever women who hate men, per se. Mm, feminists
right.
are women who hate the structure
right.
of the society. Feminists are women who hate the patriarchy.
Right.
And seeing it in those terms should make it to anybody's eye and mind of an incredibly healthy and normal reaction to a very sick situation.
Yeah, I was just thinking that I've heard the argument, well, why don't you just fight for everyone's rights? Work for, you know, a human movement, a people's movement. And I felt, well, like, that would be taking such a big bite. You can't do it. You have to go where your strengths are. And, you know, we could divide up into really small groups, you know, of, I don't want to go listing them, but when you think about it, I'm a woman, and there are, like, more than half the world. There's a lot of women in this world, and we all have some basic hurts and pains and basic growths and desires in common. If we get together, I mean, then the world's going to have to change because we are, you know, a big, big part of this place.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I want to ask you how you feel about a couple of areas, being this woman who's grown up with feminism around you, with all these different kinds of ways of seeing the world. How do you feel about relationships, meaning love, sexual relationships, mm-hmm. and how do you feel about friendships, and how do the mm-hmm. two balance?
Yeah, this is what I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I've come to, evolving to a point where I think friendships is the sacred, that is the basis for everything, and I think, I don't think we should keep sex and friendships separate, because that is one of the sicknesses of this patriarchy, you know, and it's great to say that, and really, like, yeah, it hit me, and I realize it, like, because it's been said, I know it's been said by a lot of women in the women's movement, but I've realized it, and I'm struggling towards that point where friendship is what's most valid, and sharing that friendship and growing with that friendship in the ways that that friendship needs to grow. And I think inside that is communication is the basis for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm very aware of now, is to be able to get across things like anger without hurting or without being irrational in a way that is destructive. I mean, sometimes you're irrational because, you know, all stops are, you know, let out and you're just going crazy. But letting out anger and being angry and be able to go back and then talk about it, but also be able to be angry the same way you talked about it, you know, just with connectiveness instead of sort of, I don't know the words, I don't have the words. Irrationality comes out into my head,
mm-hmm.
but not the way women are supposed to be thought as irrational, you know.
So part of what you're saying is that you think you're saying two things.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you're saying friendships are the most important kinds of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you're saying that lovers should be friends.
Yeah.
That's real important.
Yeah.
Are you also saying, okay, the third part of that would be, and is it, that friends should also be lovers, if that's the way that goes?
If that's the way it falls, that's the way it follows, you know. I mean, you're going on feeling and communication. I mean, if you end up lovers, friend lovers, mm-hmm. then that's where you're at. That's, mm-hmm. I mean, of course. I mean, it's just natural, you know. But I was talking to a group of women and stuff, and I said, all my friends, all my lovers would have to be my friends, but all my friends would not necessarily be my lovers.
Uh-huh.
I got it.
That's good. Wow, that's really good. Okay, then let me ask you the next question. The great big word, which exists in the big grown-up, in the grown-up world as well as in the kid world, but in the grown-up world, and talking about relationships, close friend relationships and lover relationships, I wonder whether someone growing up in this different kind of a world, like you did, sort
mm-hmm.
of, I mean, sort of the world was sort of different, do you feel differently about jealousy than most of us do?
Hmm. As I've been more, I keep a really intense journal, and as I've been writing over the years, certain words come up that people would always use, like, oh, you jealous woman, and guilt, and all those different words. I never really knew what they meant. And as I've been growing, I figured out what guilt was in terms of myself. I figured out what a lot of things were. I haven't figured out jealousy yet. I don't know. I've heard a lot of women in rap groups and stuff talk about it. And I feel, in a naive kind of way, like, well, that doesn't have to happen, you know. You know, if you just communicate. And I think it has a lot to do with background, how you react in terms of jealousy. And it has to do a lot with communications and whether you really know how to communicate. And consciously working on that.
Could you be more specific what you mean about background? You mean,
well,
what?
Well, go ahead.
You mean like what happened with you and your parents and stuff like that? Or
yeah.
With friends when you were younger?
Yeah.
Or do you mean class background? Or?
Everything. I mean, really. I mean, it's very general, but... Well, I've never really thought jealousy in terms of myself because I haven't felt in that kind of position. It's never been jealousy. I feel like jealousy in a way is sort of a surface kind of word. Like when I think about, like, I was sort of a part of the Three Musketeers. I had three friends, okay? I was one of the friends. One, two, three. And some days, Barbara and Liz would gang up on me, you know? And that's what I remember most, is them ganging up on me. But sometimes it would be me and Barb and Liz, or, you know, Liz and me and Barb, that kind of thing. Okay. And when they would gang up on me, I would feel really bad. But it wasn't like, oh, she's got Liz. It was like I felt rejected. I felt, what's the word? I think it begins with a D. Well, no, B. Betrayed.
Betrayed.
Ta-da, betrayed.
I had it even when you said D.
No, you just turn it around.
Right.
But rejection, I think, is what it felt rather than maybe jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of jealousy, I feel like, oh, I'm above that. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, sure. When it actually happens, you know, I don't think I will be able to avoid it or have it not happen to me. I really think that I'll probably... it's something that's so rampant that, I don't know, I think it's hard to avoid.
Do you see yourself as an independent rather than dependent woman?
Yeah, I dread being dependent on people.
Mm-hmm.
It scares me because in a way I feel like I'm the only one I can trust. That's one of my personal things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to learn how to depend on someone, but it's not dependence, it's the wrong word now. I have to think of a new vocabulary, because it's not dependence anymore. I want to be able to work with women and share the load kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of a song. It's really hard. I see myself as a very independent person, living my own life, especially as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to be independent. I feel like I have to be independent to retain my strength right
mm-hmm.
now. And maybe I'll always have to be that way. But I've been thinking a lot about cooperatives and communes and stuff like that, where you can share and learn and grow, but without depending in the way that you're taught to depend. The way when you're a little girl, the way little girls are taught to depend on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that effect on me, that kind of dependence.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it's been taught, and part of it's just been the way my childhood and life has gone.
What do you mean? You said you feel that dependence. You mean you feel others' dependence on you? Or?
No, I feel that dependence, me wanting that kind of, me wanting to be
You wanting to be dependent.
To be dependent.
Right.
Right, and I...
You feel that and you want to, you don't want that.
Right, I know it's bad, but it's something that I have to flush out of my system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's you just look around you and you see how unhealthy it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even in any kind of relationship,
mm-hmm.
it's no good. I mean, even if you're just, you know, sort of friends,
mm-hmm.
it's no good. I don't think in Woman on the Edge of Time, there wasn't that dependence. There was like, we need each other because we exist in this world together.
Oh, yeah. I remember the really clear point that was made that every person in that world had their own space, whether you were lovers or part of a family
right.
or whatever. It was unthinkable that people wouldn't have their own space.
Right, they're all little houses to go off to.
Right, and the only people who lived together, there was a nursery for really young children, and they lived, there was a children's house.
Yeah, children's house, right.
They lived there until they were 13, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then they went through a whole ceremony of maturing and left the children's house.
Choosing their own name.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I've been thinking about that.
In terms of your art, do you see, do you have any ideas about working with the themes of women's strength and independence within your art?
Oh, yeah, I wrote a letter to Andrea Dworkin saying I was going to create the new art, the woman's art, sort of the woman's art kind of thing, the conscious art.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, because I'm at such a beginning where I just have to learn how Nina expresses herself first
mm-hmm.
through what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So once I learn that, then I can start, you know, maybe when I'm 40, I'll finally get it together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I can't ask for it now. It would be too much, too mm-hmm. hard on myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely see that, a more conscious art. But I don't know what form it would take or how it would be because, first of all, I've got a lot of stuff to undo.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a lot of stuff to find out.
You feel you do have stuff to undo?
Yeah, still. It feels better and better. I mean, I feel like the world's gotten better and I've gotten better.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had those first 10 years before there was feminism. I mean, you really just hit it. I mean, in a few years, I'll have someone on this program who's 19 then.
Yeah, really.
Because you had your first 10 years before it was there. But and that's sort of joking, but I was thinking, when we spoke on the phone, I mentioned mm-hmm. this, that it will be your children or the children of women your age mm-hmm. who will have the total experience, because not only of growing up in a world where there's a strong, hopefully still strong, and even stronger and growing women's movement and all of the ideas of feminism and self-definition for women, but their mothers also will be those women who grew up with those feelings. Like, we need second generation children of the women's movement before we can see what that will mean,
right.
what it will truly mean.
Right.
And meanwhile, in a sense, not to sound overly poetic, but sometimes I feel that we are like women on the edge of time, because because we feel so differently about ourselves and about our world, and yet our world, for the most of our world, except for our little safe community of women, uh-huh. or large but safe, isolated community of women, most of the world is still the way it used to be.
Right. Yeah.
And here we stand on the edge of this new kind of a world, and it's...
it's scary, it's exciting.
The future is very exciting. Do you have, do you know what you see for your future?
Try not to think about it, because it panics me.
What panics you?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if the world's... I mean, I have this thing in me since ninth grade. I mean, I'm really afraid of what we're doing to the planet itself, let alone people. I mean, just the fact that we're destroying the place where people live.
Mm-hmm.
And we're part of that chain, but something's different. I mean, fish didn't decide to ruin the world. People did. And so when I think about future, I think, well, I have certain little dreams, you know. I mean, maybe one day I'd publish my poetry or something, or maybe one day I'd start a co-op gallery, you know, for women. And maybe one day I would I have dreams of living in co-ops and things like that. And those are things I'd like to do, and they're very real and very possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I have dreams of the world, you know, where I would like to go.
Mm-hmm.
But the most I think I can do is be conscious of now mm-hmm. and move through now and mm-hmm. hold on to the things I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't think about, well, what's going to happen in the future, what will be there. I just have to keep working at it, because in the past I've gotten caught up in that, and it's been detrimental, because you start thinking about the future and now is falling apart and you don't even remember your past, mm-hmm. you know, and it's no good.
Yeah.
It's a balance. That word comes up so much in my journal, balance.
Do you have, this is, you know, maybe a difficult question, and you can just reject it. But do you have any idea what for you is like the essence of feminism? What the core of it is for you?
Well, the word feminism, I mean, you can look it up in the dictionary and all that. And I'm sure a lot of women have different levels of how they feel about it and different definitions. But when I think about myself as a woman and about women, let me think now. It's a difficult question.
Mm-hmm.
You say the essence, like core of
it? Yeah, to you. Because I think that feminism, you know, is certain things. It means mm-hmm. certain things. And we could, you know, be objectively mm-hmm. list them all. But I think that to each one of us, there's one thing that we take from it that's the most important.
Yeah, I was just thinking, well, there are a lot of things that make up the outside of it. You know, like a new vocabulary about the sexist language.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of practical things. When I feel personally inside me, it's like, I don't want to get corny and use typical used up words, but it's sort of like living at peace with each other,
mm-hmm.
With a communication and a kind of bond and caring, which I think is very human, which has been sort of stomped on. And I think from that kind of communication and actual feeling for each other, and I mean real feeling, I don't mean like crying is a feeling. I mean, touching each other's core. From that, I think a lot can grow. Dealing with who we are. That's what. And I mean, in a utopia, who we are. But now it's who we are, who we've been, and where we have to, what we have to straighten out to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's very hard. Mm-hmm. I don't really know.
I should try and answer it also, to
go
be
ahead.
Fair.
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I thought of was that the most important, or the essence of it for me, is that I have a place where I belong. That I always I always felt like a freak. Like, it's, you know, that I didn't really belong anywhere. And it's been such a wondrous thing for me after really, you know, 30 years of isolation, to find that I feel I belong anywhere where there are, anywhere that says women only, anywhere that says all women, I feel like I belong there. When I go there, I feel at home. But when I thought a little, yeah, I feel at home. That's nice. Mm-hmm. But when I thought a little further, I got to that I think for me it's self-respect. That I think that the essence of what I was taught as I grew up was woman-hating. Mm. And it wouldn't have been, those words would not have been used for it. Of course not.
It's too out front.
But that's what it all amounts to, is a lack, is a disrespect for oneself. Mm-hmm. The role of women in the world before consciousness is one of disrespecting oneself. And all of the ideas, I think, of feminism have to do with respecting instead. And, of course, each other,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think that just comes out of sharing and feeling. Because then you have to deal with it. I mean, if you're being hurt by disrespect and stuff like that, there it comes right up. I mean, if you're consciously trying to be an aware woman, I mean, it comes up and you mm-hmm. have to deal with it. And I think all those things, yeah.
There's so many. I mean, yeah. Closeness, warmth, love, strength. You know, the whole spectrum.
Yeah.
We're going to have to stop soon. And I want to, just the last question is a very, oh, I forgot to ask you a real important one. Okay, it's going to have to get squeezed in. What are your feelings about aging? I was really interested in how you would feel about that.
I really look forward to growing gray. I mean, I think it's the most fantastic thing. I think maybe it's because I've known a lot of gray-haired women who are really strong and growing older, but they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, well, I want to live my life as fully as I can, and as I get older, it's got to get better. I mean, if I keep going the way I'm going. And
do you worry, do you not have any of the worries that women used to have, like, when I get older I'm not going to look as attractive, and I'm not going to, et cetera, all that?
Well, I've seen women who are older, you know, walking the streets and stuff, and just, you know, just grandmotherly kind of people riding the subways, and a lot of them make me really sad because they look unhappy, and because their oldness looks like unhappiness, and people see that and say that's what being old is being decrepit and all that. But they grew up in a time where they weren't allowed to be conscious of themselves, to have respect and all that kind of stuff. So I think if you're going along in a conscious kind of way and trying to raise your consciousness and stuff like that and awareness, and you're allowed to follow things that are yourself, then growing old will be beautiful as being born, you know. It will be good, and it won't be decrepit, you know. I mean, you will have to die one day, and that's something that I think every human being has to deal with. But it certainly doesn't have to be unhappy. Yeah. It doesn't have to be scary.
A lot of the scariness about age is health, too.
Yeah.
And the women's health movement, I mean, is such a big part of the women's movement that maybe as you grow older, and maybe even as I grow older, there'll be ways that everyone can, you know, have the right to health and not just the rich.
Right.
Well, listen, it's been really great talking to you. I think you're terrific. I want to do some announcements, community announcements. On August 1st, which is Monday night at 8 p.m., there's going to be a benefit poetry reading for the East Coast Lesbian Mothers Defense Fund. The poets are Joan Larkin and Fran Wynan. And it's Monday night at 8 o'clock at St. Clement's Church at 423 West 46th Street. On Wednesday night, August 3rd, will be the second annual Women's Walk Against Rape, which last year had an attendance of 700 women, and we're hoping for 1,000 this time around. There will be a rally before the walk, and then this enormous group of strong and angry women will walk through Central Park, claiming it for that one night and saying, okay, you know, we can walk anywhere we want, and we're going to work towards a future where we really can. And it's really important that you get there. The rally before him will have a martial arts demonstration, and it will have success stories of women who've resisted rape, and some improvisational theater and singing, and it should be really good. Okay, that's Wednesday night, August 3rd, the second annual Women's Walk Against Rape. And you meet at 66th Street and Amsterdam Avenue. That's at the American Red Cross building at 150 Amsterdam Avenue at 66th Street. The rally begins at 7, and the march begins at 8:30 p.m. If you want more information, call New York Women Against Rape at 877-8700. And I suspect they'll need marshals and people to help out, too. So it's 877-8700. The Women's Department of WBAI is presenting on the weekend of August 13th through 14th, Women's Work Weekend of programs about women and work. All programs by, for, and about women from 8:30 a.m. Saturday morning until 6:30 p.m. Sunday night. So be sure you save out that weekend, or at least some chunks of it, August 13th through 14th. I want to tell everybody, but especially Nina, that 2 weeks from tonight, the program's going to be with a group of women artists who have a support group. And we're going to talk about what it's like being women artists. Next week, I hope to have an old friend who's a writer come and read to us and talk about her long and varied career as a writer and journalist. And that is all of the announcements. Thank goodness, because we're out of time. And we will close. Thank you, Nina, again, thank you very much for coming. It was really as good as I hoped it would
be. I'm not nervous at all anymore.
Good. We're going to close with, where is it? The song is called... It is called There Was a Young Woman Who Swallowed a Lie, and it's on a record called Virgo Rising.
There was a young woman who swallowed a lie. We all know why she swallowed that lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was a young woman who swallowed a rule. Lived to serve others, she learned it in school. She swallowed the rule to hold up the lie. We all know why she swallowed that lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was a young woman who swallowed some fluff. Lipstick and candy and powder and puff. She swallowed the fluff to sweeten the rule. Swallowed the rule to hold up the lie. We all know why she swallowed that lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was a young woman who swallowed a line. I like 'em dumb, baby, you suit me fine. She swallowed the line to tie up the fluff. Lipstick and candy and powder and puff. Swallowed the fluff to sweeten the rule. Lived to serve others, she learned it in school. She swallowed the rule to hold up the lie. We all know why she swallowed that line. Perhaps she'll die. There was a young woman who swallowed a pill. Might have said no, but she hadn't the will. She swallowed the pill to go with the line. Swallowed the line to tie up the fluff. Swallowed the fluff to sweeten the rule. Swallowed the rule to hold up the lie. We all know why she swallowed that lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was a young woman who swallowed a ring. Looked like a princess and felt like a thing. She swallowed the ring to make up for the pill. Might have said no, but she hadn't the will. Swallowed the pill to go with the line. I like 'em dumb, baby, you suit me fine. She swallowed the line to tie up the fluff. Lipstick and candy and powder and puff. Swallowed the fluff to sweeten the rule. Live to serve others, she learned it in school. She swallowed the rule to hold up the lie. We all know why she swallowed that lie. Perhaps she'll die. There was a young woman who swallowed some Spock. Stay at home, mother, take care of your flock. She swallowed the Spock to go with the ring. She swallowed the ring to make up for the pill. Swallowed the pill to go with the line. Swallowed the line to tie up the fluff. She swallowed the fluff to sweeten the rule. Swallowed the rule to hold up the lie. We all know why she swallowed that lie. Perhaps she'll die. One day this young woman woke up and she said, I've swallowed so much that I wish I was dead. I swallowed it all to go with the Spock. I swallowed the Spock to go with the ring. I swallowed the ring to make up for the pill. Swallowed the pill to go with the line. Swallowed the line to tie up the fluff. Swallow the fluff to sweeten the rule. Swallow the rule to hold up the lie. Why in the world did I swallow that lie? Perhaps I'll die. She ran to her sisters. It wasn't too late to be liberated and regurgitate. She threw up the spock and threw up the ring. Looked like a princess and felt like a thing. Threw up the pill and threw up the line. I like 'em dumb, baby, you suit me fine. She threw up the fluff and threw up the rule. Lived to serve others, she learned it in school. And last but not least, she threw up the lie. We all know why she threw up that lie. She will not die.